for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday evening, May the 22nd, 2003, Memorial Weekend Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park.
Dr. Nell, come and tell us about tomorrow morning and anything else that is on your heart here.
Good evening.
Good evening.
God called me as an intercessor about 20 years ago. And what I do is I pray for people. And I think the most important thing that you can do is pray. He says pray without ceasing. And in the morning we have a prayer meeting. And I invite all of you to come and meet Jesus. You know, there are some people who, he said about the Israelites, that these were people who had seen his miracles. They had seen him open the Red Sea and drown the army. They'd seen him bring water out of rock. They'd seen him put manna on the ground. They'd seen him bring quail in 3 feet deep in the middle of the desert. And yet he said, they don't know my ways. They failed. They didn't come in because they don't know his ways. And then they're the people who know his ways, but like they don't know him. David knew him.
Amen.
And I invite you to come and meet him. To meet him. Let him touch you. I was raised in a sacramental church, and I was 38 years old. And I'd have fought you over the fact of over salvation, whether I was saved or not. I knew the Bible. I taught Sunday school. And I hit a hard spot in my life. And someone gave me a book called Prayer Can Change Your Life. It was a double-blind study on prayer. It's very carefully structured at the University of Red Legs in California. And God used something in that book. I got a hold of a copy of it 20 years later, and I went through it, and I tried to say, what in this book touched me? But one day I was in a little church in Wichita, Kansas. I'd taken my child to see the child psychiatrist, and I was going to the psychiatrist. My wife was going to the psychiatrist, and then we were going to marriage counselors. And everything was just going apart. And I went to this little church, and I've been praying. And that's when I started taking my child to the South psychiatrist. I started going up to this church and praying for an hour, then sitting in the waiting room and reading magazines. And that day, I said, Jesus, if you're real, I want you to come in my life. Because I read in there that you just had to surrender. You had to come to the point where you just surrendered your life. And I said, if you're real, I want you to come into my life because I surrender to you. I can't make it on my own. And he appeared before me. Didn't say anything. I just looked up and there he was. And he looked down at me and he touched me. And something happened to me. I began to shout and holler. The secretary looked out, and she sort of peered out, and she came back, and a few minutes later, the priest came out with his robes, and I was trying to tell him what happened to me. And he said, sir, if you don't leave the church right now, I'm going to call the police. And He walked me to the door, shut the door, and I heard him lock it. And I went down the street shouting and hollering and screaming and carrying on. When I got to the psychiatrist's office, it was about 3 blocks away, I said, you know, Billy, if you don't quiet down, if we're going to get the folks with the white coats and the butterfly nets to chase you. And my wife told me years later, she said, I don't know what happened to you that day, but something happened to you because you changed. But I met Jesus. And prayer became the most important. Prayer and reading the Bible became the most important thing in my life. And then he called me to intercession, to stand before him, to intercede. And I say to all of you, prayer is the most important. Come in the morning at 6 o'clock, and I'll talk a little bit about my understanding of intercessory prayer the first day for maybe 15 or 20 minutes. And then we will assail the throne of grace. It says, come boldly to the throne of grace. And we'll come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find help in our time of need. Anybody that doesn't have need, what you doing here? Anybody that says, well, I got no needs, everything fine with me. Boy, he got you blind. See y'all in the morning.
There's another lady that'll be ministering here to the ladies in the afternoon. And Jackie Sellers, will you come and have a word for us here this evening? Amen.
Praise the Lord. I've been praying a lot the last couple of weeks about this camp meeting. And you know, this is Memorial Day weekend. And it's to remember those that have gone on before us, that have paid the price. Price for our freedom, price for our liberty. And Jesus ultimately paid the biggest price for our salvation. And you know, this is a deliverance camp, and we all come to get delivered and set free. But to be truly delivered, we need to remember, the Lord just keeps quickening to my heart, that we need to have a heart of repentance. Not just coming and asking for forgiveness, but a heart of true repentance. One of turning away from our sinful ways. Making a total turnaround. Sometimes we see people come in and out in churches and in ministries, and they want help, they want deliverance, but it's just like a quick fix is all they're wanting, and they go right back out and do the same thing all over again. Nothing changes. Just a momentary little sedative, you know, if you will. And God's saying to us, you need to remember what I paid for. You know, remember, this is Memorial Day, remember what your true spiritual forefathers have paid for. You know, thank God that we don't have to go through what Abraham went through. Amen. You know, but we're the children of Israel stacked up rocks to turn and tell their children, remember, this is when God delivered us here. And this is when God took us out here. And this is when he helped us across the Red Sea. We're to remember all those things that God did for us. But if we want true deliverance, then we must have true repentance, which is asking God's forgiveness, being truly sorry for what we've done, and agreeing with God's help and grace, we will turn away from it, never to return again. Amen. I'm excited about what God's doing. You know, in spite of all the wars and rumors of wars going on in our world, we know that there's a great spiritual victory about to take place. Amen. There has to be. And the Word says there will be. And we'll all be part of it. If we'll be faithful and obedient to stick in there and hook up with the Spirit of the living God and be repentant and show someone else how to be repentant. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. What's the Lord working on all of us for? Do you know who we are? We are to be, we're not to be, we are God's kingdom of priests in the earth today. That's what he said. He said he had a nation, a kingdom of priests, and that's you and I. And we need to realize that and to take that place of responsibility. You have to accept the place of responsibility. If you don't accept your place of responsibility, your place in the earth will pass you by. But we have a chosen time for each one of us,
and it's our responsibility to make full use of that place and time. Well, Sheila Fox, come up here and say hello to me and everybody else before your hubby comes up here. Amen. She travels a little bit, but most of the time she stays home with the stuff.
The stuff. We have four hairy kids, or gray kids, or whatever. They're animals. And I get stuck at home sometimes. I'm just answering telephones and making sure all the stuff is battened down on the home front. I believe what my sister just said, too, that there are times when our ministry changes. But for me, my main focus has been for many, many years, my husband and my family. And there's been seasons where he's let me go out and come back in. And as children were added to our family, there's been times when that's happened. But anyway, I just know in my heart, above all things, that this camp is so instrumental in this hour of history, because there's been so much neglect of the gospel of Jesus Christ in this nation. And, of course, it has gone out through all the world. And the deliverance part of the gospel of Jesus Christ is imperative for people to receive deliverance and walk in that power. And so I'm just so thankful that, as somebody else just said, the memorial of our ancestors who have gone before, that I have the privilege to be here, because these men and women that have endeavored all these years to keep this camp going, in my heart and mine, is probably the most foremost pioneers of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that I know of. And so anyway, I'm very privileged to be here and very thankful. And if there's anything that I can do for anybody, you can find me kind of floating around here and there. I pray a lot. And there's times when I disappear a lot because I just go and pray. But I love you all, and I'm very thankful to be here.
Well, it's a privilege for Brother Carl and Sheila to come and be with us. He just come back from Romania not very long ago, and where he is head over a couple of orphanages and several congregations over there amongst the gypsies. And I plan to go with him in October back on his next trip over there. And I told the girls, you're going to have to get used to me being gone, because I think I'm going to be gone a lot in the next couple of years. So just warn everybody, I might end up over in India with Brother Joseph for a couple of weeks and out in the middle of the Philippines. I've been begged and begged for many long years to come to the Philippines, and I just might do that. Okay. But I appreciate Brother Carl and Sheila so much. When they heard just a few hours after Irma had the massive hemorrhage that took her life, they were on their way here to be with me, and drove straight through till they got here and stayed with me almost till the last breath, and then they had to travel on. And I appreciate people like that who are faithful to others as well as to themselves, and I appreciate that too. So Brother Carl, come and minister whatever's on your heart this evening, and close this service out as you see fit.
Amen. First thing I want is a hug from my brother. Let us squeak. You know why I come here? Because I love God. If it wasn't for God's love, I'd probably be out to kill y'all. Because I see you as a bunch of religious creeps. You don't know much about my past. It's covered with the blood, and we're not going to dig it up, okay? But I want you to know something. Only the devil tries, and he's a failure. He's a fool. Because he had a good job. And he's afraid of you. And he finds ways to stop us from being able to do what we're supposed to do. And he's so tricky, it amazes me how God works. And it always will, because he's God. He's the boss. And he gives us great advantage. I think the greatest advantage I get is I never know what I'm going to say when I come. I go over the world. Sometimes I'll preach in 6-7 churches in a day. Never know what I'm going to preach. Never preach the same thing twice, because not the same people. And I used to, and the schooling I had way back when was prepare these perfect teachings. And, here they had outlined it. I respect that kind of thing. But then one day the Lord showed me how Satan read them too. And he couldn't turn my mind. Well, sometimes he did. But he turned everything he could to turn other people's minds, so if they were there, they weren't here with their head or their heart. And God's asking for a people that will walk by the Spirit of God. He's also gave you the ability to discern spirits. It's not a distinct ministry, yet there is a ministry of discerning spirits. But part of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, if you like that word better, is to be able to discern. We only have two teachers. That's the Spirit and the Word. All right? It's amazing how both those are intertwined with Jesus. And they are Him. But see, we have to be able to discern what is the Spirit of God. I've been in meetings where I got up and left. Because they thought the power is because people are sticking the ceiling or the floor, being knocked down. And if you do that, hallelujah, between you and God. Sometimes it is of God. I'm not saying it isn't. But what I'm saying is that we have to discern. There's devils in this room tonight. And don't anybody be afraid. If Satan can stand before our Heavenly Father, God Almighty, the Creator of the heavens and earth, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, God who is all in all and forever and always will be, if he can stand there and accuse you, don't you think there's not a church that's immune from devils coming in? All right? But we don't have to be afraid of them, because greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. Can you say that, please? Amen. Let's believe that, okay? Let's believe that this weekend. This is a wonderful place to come. It's an honor. And the reason is you know what? It's not because of numbers, but we're going to talk about something that stops the numbers. God showed me something. I want to talk to you men first before I talk out in front of everybody. But God has shown me something, and you can tell me I'm all wet afterwards, and if I am, I'll repent, okay? But trouble is when he puts that spirit of the prophet on you, sometimes you start saying stuff that you know you might get shot for, but you can't stop it, all right? But we have to speak what we have to speak. I want to tell you that this is a wonderful camp, all right? And this camp didn't die when Sister Irma went to sleep. All right? And I want you to know that this camp is going to see greater days. But we've got to be able to fight for it. We need to fight for the fullness of what is available. Satan takes in and he brings in the very things that will destroy us. He knows who's his threat. That isn't that Holy Roman Word only or spirit only church down the street or up the hill. I got spit in the night. But it's the people that get right down. Brother, I understand a little bit about prayer too, doctor. I'd be a dead man if it wasn't for it. But you know what? It takes the things that are done in secret that changes things. But for the bad or the good, right? He was bruised for our what? What does that mean? Yeah, that's part of it. It's a big part of it. Say it loud enough so everybody can hear it.
Rebellion and all of its evil consequences.
See, there's always people that are more qualified to speak than me. I don't know why God lets me do it. It humbles me before I get up. I praise God But I'll tell you, yeah, I'm a simple man. You know, I used to be such an intellectual that I went back to deciding to be a farm boy. I spent all my time trying to sell. I had life insurance agents that covered four states. I spent my time talking to doctors, lawyers, and attorneys. And none of them ever told me the truth. Maybe a couple, you know. And finally, one day, I was really fed up. I said, that's it. I said, I'm going to go out. I'm going to go, you know, I looked at southern Minnesota, and there's all these millionaire farmers underinsured. I said, I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to make money, and I'm going to kick cow poop around the pasture with them. Excuse me, poop is like dung, okay? If you need a King James word. But, you know, it's amazing how my business came alive. You know, and you got to talk straight to them. And I didn't realize that even though I was rejecting God, that he is preparing me for a ministry. I go to the most undesirable people in the world, the gypsies. And because of the life I live, God don't waste. They can't shock me. They can't affect me. And they sure can't scare me. You know, but God uses foolish things, you know, to confound the wise. But it's an amazing thing how we see things happen, but they have so much hidden. See, if you're bruised, you tell me if I'm right or not, but my body has told me this is right, that when you get bruised, there's more damage underneath than you see on the skin, right? All right, see, so the same thing is true with iniquity. Now, it might not meet your definition, but at least consider what I say. What is iniquity? It's what you're hiding. Why can generational curses come down on mankind? Because the hidden sin that went to the grave, unrepented sin. And sometime this weekend, I learned some stuff this weekend that I was up in Kentucky teaching. I've taught on this subject a lot of times, but I was up, it was a week ago, 2 weeks ago now, whatever. And I was ministering, and many times when you share, that's when God's teaching you. So I asked him, I said, by the way, I hate to listen to myself because if I have that tape, it didn't surprise me, it didn't come out. Okay? So I'm going to trust the Lord to help me with this again. But I learned something about the bastard curse. I've heard it well taught by many people, including Dr. Null, a couple times back when I was here. But God showed me something in there. First of all, I started looking at numbers, being an old gambler. And, you know, and I started looking at numbers. Why, you know, the second, third, fourth generation, but why 10 generations? Isn't that amazing? So I'm hoping that God can put a fire in that this weekend so I can share it. And we're going to anoint that equipment. But because I taught this in two churches while I was up there. Usually when I'm out, I hit two or three churches. And one of them is a denomination that don't believe, number one, a Christian can get possessed or be cursed. So I told them while I was there, I said, no, I'm not welcome. And I wasn't. They invited me and they realized what I taught. We showed up and they weren't there. And I had about 20 brothers and sisters that are strong standers. And so we sat in the parking lot. And I said, we might have church out here, but it might be the best that's been on this property. We don't know. But anyway, they finally showed up because they were down the road. We weren't going to leave. And, you know, I'm not always welcome. Here I'm welcome, I think. But anyway, so I said, you know, I used to love to hunt. I don't get time anymore. But I said, God sends me on hunting trips I like. And I said, I'm on one tonight. I said, I love to shoot sacred cows. You know about that in India, brother. And they literally walk on 4 feet. But so I said, first of all, yes, Christians can be possessed. Okay? I said, second of all, yes, you are a cursed people. Anyway, before I was done, and I wasn't sure, I was looking for an exit door. But before I got done, the pastor, his wife, and little girl, who had some serious problems, came for prayer. See, I'm encouraging every one of you. Don't think that you can't do it, because if a guy like me can do it, you can do it, okay? The bottom line is, if you start letting the Spirit of God move in you, you will speak words you expect to get backhanded for. But you won't. But you're liable to get kicked in the pants from God if you don't speak it. All right? It's time. We sung all these wonderful songs tonight. And there are many times that I've watched praise services, people get cursed because they're committing themselves to the Lord. You know what I mean? And they go right out and don't do it. When you're praising God, that's making an oath, right? Am I wrong? Huh? Yeah. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Amen. Let's get serious. Let's get serious about our prayer. There's a man that's serious about his prayer. I married a woman. I used to think I was an ordained Rev. Rev, you know, isn't that a terrible name called? But, you know, because it's glorifying the man. But, you know, I used to think in the middle of the night, you know, I'd wake up and my wife was gone. I used to think, I got upset with her. I said, you know, if you didn't take a nap in the afternoon, you could sleep at night. God was getting her up to pray. Eventually, you know, the old thick head accepted that. You know, but I believe there's only one reason we're here, is to change. And anybody don't think you need to change, and we'll dig a hole and bury you. The only perfect people I ever meet is in the cemetery. All right? You know, because it's all buried. You know, they don't make any mistakes. You're alive. Life isn't about being perfect. Life is about being forgiven and forgiving. All right? And I get a holler, and you just have to excuse me. But I love God, and I do a really poor job of it. I'm not bragging, okay? Sometimes I have to say, Father, I'm so sorry for the way I love you. There's times I thank him that he don't love me like I love him. We have such a wonderful Father, because he isn't just a father. You know, what's the difference between a father and a daddy? A father could be a sperm donor, okay? A daddy will change a stinky diaper, see? God is our Father, but he also is a daddy. And when we stink, he's right in there cleaning us up. You know? And I'll tell you, folks, seriously, and you could say, well, what does this have to do with deliverance? Everything. If we didn't sin, we wouldn't need deliverance, all right? Right? But see, everything is about relationship. It's all. Why have deliverance ministries? Because nobody's believing the Word of God. I used to think deliverance ministry, give me a break, those people are kooks. Well, I found out, you know what they are, but they love God. Because finally I realized, so am I. You know, it's amazing what God's done with me, probably does with you. The very things that I get critical of, he has me doing. You know? I don't do deliverance like other people maybe, but I see the same results, you know? Because it's the same God. And each of us, someone said about each of us being distinct, and we do change. Praise God, we change. You know, but the bottom line is, if you're here to get this weekend, change your mind. Because you've gotten so much, you're constipated. You don't have room to receive anymore. Get busy giving, all right? Seriously. That's the biggest thing that stops us from receiving. You want deliverance? Let loose of the good and the bad. All right? If God's done good, you tell everybody. I was in Portland, Maine, and this is an awesome little church. Because from Africa, I forget the two tribes, the Tutsus and the Tsotsis or whatever, kill. You'd know that, but I don't even know my own history. But because it's past, you know. That's get rid of the past so we can live today, you know. And we need the past so we can recognize what we need to change from. But anyway, these two tribes have slaughtered each other for centuries. And this church is made up of people from those two African nations that escaped. And here, instead of hating each other, they've repented, have come together. It's a powerful church. So when I'm going to have to give you the name of them. I think I have it with you. Because you, I'll tell you what, they're awesome. But anyway, the first time I went up there, I started removing curses and speaking blessings. I mean, it was wild time. And the difference is they've taken advantage of it. You do it so many times with people and they, oh, well, hallelujah, now let me go sin, you know. I feel good. I got energy enough to sin. And, hey, you know, let's face it, sin is fun or you wouldn't do it, right? You got to be more determined to do than just because something's fun. That has not got to be the prerequisite. All right? It just doesn't. It's what does Dad want? You know, What would Jesus do? Somebody made $1 million on a bracelet, WW, do whatever Jesus do, but, you know, and it become a trend instead of something for us to search our soul. But anyway, I was in this church, and it was some, you know, God does things, and I watch. You know, that's why I don't get offended if you see me praying with my eyes open. Because I know miracles are coming, baby. I want to see them. My faith needs renewing, too, you know. And anyway, this two girls, right? Both of them, one had hepatitis C and the other one had a different form. And both were death sentences. They were death curses. And they were yellow. I mean, they were on the last throes, and people were kind of afraid of them when they come up. Well, see, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I don't wait for the Spirit of God to grab me and push me around. I make a decision to move with it, see? That's how you do all things. He's the power. You give him the glory, you know? Well, I wasn't afraid to hug on him. I took one time, my throat was dry, and I asked this gal, she just started chewing on this gum. And I said, do you have any more? She said, no. And she went like this. And I knew she had AIDS. She wasn't going to have it very much longer. I chewed the gum. What did that do for her faith? I didn't get AIDS. It says, if you shall take up any deadly thing. Now, I'm not saying if you don't have faith, don't do those kinds of things. But, and stumble over things, too. You just put that up there to see if I'd be sharp, didn't you? But the thing about it is these girls came up, one behind the other, and the one got healed, of course, you know, that's the promise. She got healed. I told her, go tell everybody what Jesus just done for you. She went and sat back down there. The other girl come up, she got healed, and she went down just like this. She says, Jesus just healed my liver. I have a new liver. And Jesus done it. And some people start getting offended. They says, she's interfering. I said, shut up and listen. You know? It's like when a baby starts crying in the church. Good Lord, if something like that's going to distract you, you don't stand a chance anyway, right? I mean, we want things decent in order, but we got to get some balance here, you know, in our relationship. This girl, when she run out of people in the church, she went next door and stopped the basketball game. She had these kids, you know, they're this big around and this tall, you know, basketball players. And boy, she had their attention. See, you know what? The one girl died. They both were healed. The one girl, her skin color had changed. Okay, but she didn't obey. It cost her life. Not that day, but very shortly. But the other one's alive yet today. See, getting results has to do with speaking what you don't feel, see, smell, taste, hear, or touch. Okay? That's right. You've got to speak it, even though you don't see it or feel it. Taste it, touch it, or hear it. All right? Because the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes, you was healed. You know, I remember. That's why I'm looking forward to taking Glenn to Romania. We can do things in Romania I get sued for here. Because you just do it, you know. And I had this poor, crippled up old lady. It took her 5 minutes to come down for prayer. This little gypsy church. And they respected this lady. And their people just quivering. They wanted prayer so bad. But she was getting down there. And I just grabbed her by the hand. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you're healed. And I started running. Well, guess what she did? By the time we got down to the back of the church, turned around, come back, she knew she was healed. You know, if you do that here in America, you'd have three people jumping on you, beating you with a chair. Oh, but they're Pentecostal. Boom, we're spirit-filled. Yeah, well, what spirit? Come on. If you got the Holy Spirit, then let it spill out. When you got born again, you're filled, okay? Spirit-filled is a wrong usage. Study your Greek. You got born again, you're full right at the top. Even if you got a rounded top, it's still full, okay? Or a flat one. But the baptism of spirits when it starts flowing out. You know, speaking in tongues is one of them. But you know what? The greatest one is what? Love. See, that's the manifestation of the Spirit of God. God so loved, He did what? He gave. Jesus so loved, what did He do? Well, if we so love, what are we going to do? I mean, that's the heart of it. You know, we cannot hold on to these secret junk. And don't you any of you tell me in here you don't have any secret junk. Okay? You do. Including me. We got, because we have a personal adversary that's just pecking away. Pecking away. You know, and people, you know, the devil will try to say to you, well, you, Ben, you, how dare you ask for forgiveness? You have been, you know what? If you ask God how many times have I come to you for forgiveness, he'd say, I forgot. Right? You know, so many times we feel so unworthy that we bury ourselves deeper. Deliverance is relationship. Salvation is relationship. Love is relationship. It's all about relationship. And you can't have a relationship with God without Jesus. That's where it's at. It's Jesus Christ. And you know what? He understands the things you're being tempted with. He overcame them. For you and me, it looks like a mountain I can't get over. I get nearly to the top and I come falling back down. But for him, he's standing on top of that thing saying, come on, come on. If we have the relationship, we're going to be drawn there. That's deliverance. That takes care of curses, soul ties, because it's a continuing relationship. And 1 John, I told you, get the Bible in page 1060. I got the one Jesus used, but he so do you. So how about 1 John? You know, it's interesting. In the Bible, we think that chapters and verses are inspired. There's so many places you can see that they are not at all. So one thing I want you to do, I'm not taught, don't mark up your Bible, you know. But where it becomes chapter 2, verse 1, it should be chapter 1, verse 11. All right? And I want to just look at this. I'm just going to read this. And I want you to just be with me, starting in 1:6. It says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. I mean, we could talk all night about that, but we're not going to, okay? You know, how many times do we get caught up in this stuff? But it says, but if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from most sins. All sins. All sins. Just want to make sure you're awake. All sins. Fact is, it's in the singular, all sin. You know, we have categories of sins. Sin is sin to God, see? See, all unrighteousness is sin, all right? So that's why he didn't pluralize it. That's really an accurate thing. But he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. When you're deceived, there's no truth in you, all right? So when we sit there and we're caught up in a bunch of garbage and traditions and manipulations, there's no truth there. You know, there's only one way you can have it, and it's relationship. It says if we say that we have no sin, we deceive who? Ourselves. So what, churchianity and Christianity are not the same, okay? All right? Christianity, it's about a deceived man deceiving men. No. That's churchianity, okay? Churchianity, that's what it's about. Churchianity gets into Christianity. But see, if we can have and keep our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, then we can effectively be a blessing one to another. And see, it isn't the pastor's job to do the whole church thing. The fact is, a healthy church should have probably a pastor for every dozen people. But, you know, the deception, the pastor's the CEO, and he don't let anybody else's gift come up. And, you know, and it's something that's just entered in. It's a deception we have. You know, Jesus didn't have 700 people in his flock. The guys that he was working with was a handful. But see, those people, as they got delivered and in relationship, then they went out and reached. And they taught others to go out and reach. That's how we work in Romania. I don't make them dependent on us. We got, I don't know how many hundred churches. Because we don't put our name on them. Denominations can put their names on them after they're started. But the thing about it is, and that's okay, because I hope they take care of them, because there's a big guy upstairs that's watching these things. But we stay in relationship with them, you know? And it's a very important thing, because we can deceive ourselves, but we don't deceive God. You know, and so we got to be real careful of that. But verse 9 is one that everybody's memorized, I'm sure. And if you haven't, please do, because it's the truth. It says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from how much unrighteousness? But there is a little clinker in there. How about the sins you don't ask for forgiveness for? Got real quiet. Right? See, it takes relationship to where you will hear the Lord say, Carl, what about this one you've been doing? And it takes being honest and confident, saying, Father, forgive me for the sins that I don't remember. You know what? He does. But in relationship, he wants to take us beyond there to where, because every victory we have with Jesus, we sung it tonight, victory in Jesus. You know, that song just awesome. But everything that we deal with, it's another victory. And so relationships are built on victories and failures, okay? But see, a lasting relationship, God builds it on victories. And the victory is in Christ Jesus. But it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful. And he's just. And he forgives them. It's a wonderful thing. And if we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. Man, I'll tell you, don't ever deny sin. Say, I didn't do it. Even if you didn't, check it with the Father. All right? I mean, it's a serious thing. It's a serious thing. Because, see, sin is what separates. See, you have transgressions. You have iniquities. Well, you know, you put them all under sin. But you have different kinds, you know. And, you know, but the biggest problem with mankind, and I know because I've been dealing with it in Carl Fox's life, is those secret ones. You know, because, hey, Glenn thinks I'm a good guy even though I have this one hid, see? Well, he's the kind of guy who would love me, but he's also the kind of guy, if he knew about it, he'd get on my case. You know, he wouldn't pound on me. He'd just love it right out of me. But see, when we keep things hid, that's iniquity. If you keep that hid and you don't know which heartbeat, your heart is going ka-thump, ka-thump, ka-thump. Which one's the last one? All right? See, God wants relationship, so we deal with those things as it happens. All right? Because, see, if we are judged righteous in Christ Jesus, right? We all read that in the Bible, right? Okay. Then, in Christ is a relationship thing. See, it's Christ in you, the hope of glory. You know why? Because when you accepted Jesus as your Lord, thump, he put it in you, okay? That's your hope of glory. But it's when you are in Christ, that's victory. That's relationship. And that's why, get yourselves out of bed tomorrow morning. Come on down here. You know, I love, it's part of my favorite time. I don't think any time I've ever been here, I don't know if I've ever missed one. I sure hope I don't tomorrow now that I shut off my mouth. But see, those are things that build relationship. We need that relationship. That's why Christianity is such a farce all over the world. Because there's no relationship. I got the rightly divided word. I'm not going to listen to you, brother. Besides that, you're not the same color. I got none and you got pretty color. See, in all these things that we put in between. You know, racism is lack of relationship. Wars is lack of relationship. And you can't, if you don't have the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you can't have it with anybody else. Because then it's all take, take, take. Amen, amen. That may only take so much from you and you're going to get fed up, right? See, it just, you know, it's the way it is. Relationship is a relationship. It's not taking. You know, the Word has some wonderful secrets of relationship. They're in there. I don't know why they'd be a secret. But how about the one esteeming others better than yourself? Boy, that's a rare one in most churches. It's absolutely not found in the world. It's amazing. See? And these are the things that is, if we can have the relationship, this is, you know, this is a hard, I know you guys all heard it from better way put out to you maybe than I'm doing tonight, but this is what this weekend is about. That's what the Lord told me. Is this thing is about relationship. There's a bunch of people who are hungry getting together that got sickness in their relationship. We live in a world that is doing everything it can. Every one of us. So don't get on your high horse, okay? I'm pointing to me. Okay? But see, we need to seek out this weekend the things that's in our relationship that is holding us back. They might not be anything that we've even done. Or maybe so far back we don't remember it. And you know, the problem with the holiness movement is you spend more time worshiping yourself because you're trying to figure out your life instead of relationship with Jesus. Yet we are seeking after holiness. Okay? You know, if we the problem is we get, if we're not careful, we get in a ditch. See? And in churchianity, there's a road. And on this side, you got Holy Spirit, and on this side, you got Bible. The Word, the Word. And you know what? What they're doing all the time is whichever one they prefer. They're trying to pave the ditch and drive in the ditch instead of the road. The reason for a ditch is to keep the road solid when there's a wet season. Okay? That's not driving the ditch. You got the Spirit, you got the Word. That's drive to stay on the road, see? That's quit wasting so much time trying to pave the ditch. See, relationship says stay on the road. Relationship helps us stay on the road. We need the Spirit. That's why we need to discern. Make sure it's the Holy Spirit. Okay? And then you got the Word. Nikita Khrushchev could quote Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. He was a very evil man. Knowing the Word doesn't make much difference. Dr. Bilt shared about his tell Jesus come and look him over. It was more of he saw Jesus. But see, the Word, you need the Word because the Word helps you stay on the road. But you need the Spirit because it makes the Word come alive. Jesus was called the living what? He is. He was called it. But he also is the living Word. You got ahead of me there. But that's okay, because if it wasn't said, that's your job, your prophet. So the thing about it is, see, Jesus came to this earth and he became the living Word. To be the living Word, he never did his own thing. He always done what Dad said. Why? Because he had a relationship. Even in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he went to the Father, I believe, three times, but more than once. And he said, is there any other way? And yet when his Father said, Son, this is the way, we talked about this before. We came to agreement. Jesus said, I'll do it. Isn't that amazing? But see, so when we get in a real trying situation, if we don't have the relationship, we're going to fall. See, it's a relationship when we're sick. Will get you up and get you going. It's when you're brokenhearted, betrayed, all the things. It gets you up and gets you going. Because relationship, it's relationship. Satan's full-time job is to mess up your relationship. He did it in the garden, Genesis 3, Adam and Eve. You blame whichever one you want, but if you'd been there, you'd have done it too. And by the way, has anybody not betrayed their relationship with Jesus? Okay, so, you know, but see, Jesus came and became the payment so we could keep drawing in that relationship. Yes, we do fail. Don't lie. And don't you think you're so important he needs you? He can have that chair do anything you'll ever do. He's God. All right? He's given you a privilege to do. See, it's a privilege. Okay? And the relationship gets you appreciative of the privilege because sometimes it wears you out. Sometimes it really gets to you. But it says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness and build back the relationship. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. You know what that means? It's Christ in you, the hope of glory. God keeps his word. But you know what? You left your side of it. All right? Because, see, you're not dwelling in Christ. And then he says, and God's so great. Just confronted stuff in our life. And then he says, my little children, hey, baby, sweet one, come here. Daddy wants to talk to you. My little children, he says, these things I write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, or you could put a when in there, We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteousness, and he is a propitiation, the payment for our sins. And not our sins only, but also the sins of the whole world, including Iraq, Iran, Israel, Romania, United States. And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments. See, if we keep his commandments, yes, we know from the previous part in this context that we don't always do that, see? Relationship draws you back in. Why do we pray? Well, keeps us alive many times, okay? But the important thing is that we let it build a relationship. That's search out our hearts this weekend. You know, it's going to be a busy weekend, but that's spend that time this weekend, you know, just finding stuff that's in our relationship. And guess what? It's not something that we can't overcome, because it's been overcome. See, God put the Spirit in you, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. Pretty powerful. If that doesn't give a little quiver or twitch somewhere in you, then we need to have a bring them back to life ceremony here. I mean, seriously, right? I mean, that's a Spirit. He put the Spirit in you that said, get up, son. And Jesus got up. That's the Spirit that you have when you accept it. So why are we trying to invent a new experience, you know, or whatever? I mean, we've got the Spirit of life. That's a Spirit of eternal life. It's an awesome thing. You know, the book of Acts is still being written. It's going to be opened up someday. The book of our Acts, your Acts, mine. And, you know, the things that we deal with here on life, it'd just be a blank page. Regardless what the sin was. It's an amazing thing, see? Because he removes as far as the east is from the west. You know, it's amazing. You could go north, and you get to where north is, in any direction you leave, any direction, you're going to go south. It don't make any difference. Isn't that amazing? You go south, and the same thing is true. But you could go east for 5 million years and never reach west. Isn't that amazing? And he said he removes our sin as far as the east and from the west. You tell me that that isn't relationship. You tell me that there isn't a great thing that's been done for you and I. It's an awesome thing. All right? But I believe the thing that we really need to be searching our hearts this weekend, I won't say the only thing because I don't believe that, but I believe it's a key thing, is the hidden things. All right? The hidden things. The little bruises in there. You know, because the trouble is, we've done things that will affect our grandchildren unless we deal with them. Next trip we make is part of what we'll be doing. We're in Pennsylvania. It's going to my granddaughter's graduation. And, you know, I shudder to think the problems I put on my grandchildren. You know, I know that I've repented and God has removed a lot and, you know, but I want to be sure, and I know I'm speaking the same thoughts that you've got to be having. We want to be sure that we don't carry these things on for generations. I mean, see, Jesus could have died, and I've said this before, and it's true. Jesus could have died that night when those killers, those Roman soldiers had him, because he'd been bruised. I mean, all the things that happened, bloodshed, body ripped up for our healing. He could have died that night, except there was one thing that Jesus had to hold on to. And he wasn't this guy on the cross with three little trickles of blood, you know. They couldn't even recognize him. He didn't carry the cross. Read your Bible if you think he did. Okay? Simon the Cyrenian carried that cross to Calvary. Jesus stayed alive. And you know what? Everybody else that was got hung that day fought it just like they always would. And he willingly gave his life. That means he didn't fight. He didn't fight when he lay. He helped them get onto that cross. And the reason he did it is because the cross, let's go to Galatians chapter 3. We're just going to read it, okay? And verse 12 makes it real clear. And this answers, can a Christian be cursed? It says the law is not of faith. How many things have you faced not in faith? Okay? But the man that doeth them shall live in them. What? either in the law or faith. It says Christ, 3:13, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. Jesus went there and took our curses. But it's just like you can have money in the bank, and if you don't go in and get that money, you don't benefit from it. Okay? What he did is money in the bank. It's there. You know, we do need deliverance ministry. We need all kinds. We need evangelism. There's such a need for evangelism. And I'm not talking about in a stadium, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about on the street, you know, bringing people to the Lord. We have a minister in Romania, I believe, is the world's greatest evangelist. He goes out. He's a gypsy man. I'm going to let you spend at least one day with this man, Pastor John. Now, for years, John would start churches, and the denominations would take him away because he couldn't be a pastor. He had committed adultery. You know how they knew he committed adultery? The Lord convicted him, and he went and confessed his sins. Well, everybody just kept abusing the man, and so I ordained him because I'd already told people I didn't come here to make friends. I come here to do the Lord's work. And I said, if you're against him, you're against me. And it's okay, because I'm not a big deal, but I come here in the name of the Lord. Well, now all of a sudden, he's becoming a respected figure. My prayer has to change for him that he doesn't have something happen in his head, think he's important. Okay? You know, we got to be real careful, folks. The devil will hit you one way, then he hits you the other. But this man, I was with him one time. I've been with him many times. It's the greatest thing to be able to go and, you know, they got terrible equipment and they do this music thing. It's really a noise. And they do it. They find the darkest place in the city or a village. You know what he does? He goes and evangelizes till he finds somebody to let him plug in so he can have power, volume, you know. Yeah. They let him plug in. They run the cord through the window. It's just so beautiful. And then he starts broadcasting. Oh, you know, the windows are rattling. And anyway, I was with him one time when these two guys were out to kill each other. They had knives about this long, and they really knew how to use them. Gypsies know how to use knives. John rocked right over, and he grabbed those knives, and he just grabbed their wrists, just bent them right down. They dropped the knives, and he says, "Name of Jesus, get down on your knees." These two men walked away arm in arm, Christians. See, this guy doesn't understand anything about fear. You know, America needs some John Colleens. You know, it's amazing. But he's just one of the ministries that we support over there. And he believes that a great thing was done for him. You know, he accepted the Lord, and he was a wealthy gypsy living in Germany. He accepted the Lord, and the Lord sent him back into Romania. And his wife, Rita, wonderful woman of God. Whatever God leads John to do, Rita's right there. Her and the 16 kids, you know. Gypsies, they always got time for the keeping the gypsy race going. But and to look at Rita, you'd think she's about 32. And when you go into John's church and they start praising the Lord, you know why? They have a relationship. See? And he's the key man that started all this work with the gypsies, you know. And when I go there, I just break out in tears. You know why? The whole church comes running, and they call me their father, you know. And it isn't a worship of a man. It's like they appreciate because we got a relationship. And it hasn't always been pleasant. There's times I've had to get real tough, you know. And yet, I'd been waiting for several years to deal with the bastard curse with the gypsies. And I got to do it. It started in John's church. Well, I know what's going to happen. The first time that it broke loose with the gypsies, I went back 3 months later, and we went from one little church of 13 people to 60. 3 months. And, of course, all the heads of the denominations come and says, "You got to do something about these gypsies." I says, "What do you mean?" "Yeah, right. Well, you know, they got 60 churches. What are we going to do? They aren't trained, blah, blah, blah." I says, "I suggest you stay out of their way." Yeah. Well, you know, the the thing about it is they understood when they got the curses off. It's in my book, this account. But when they got the curses off, they had something. That's why 60 churches started. These people were so excited. They got set free. They were set free. They were set free from what had held them down all the days of their life. Way worse than any of us have experienced. Man, they had something to go tell about. You know what? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's a salvation scripture. But isn't salvation also working out your wholeness? That's deliverance, isn't it? See, and you've got to talk about Jesus. They went and they had something. Things started moving and they haven't stopped. You know, they go on inner tubes across the Danube River. And you may have danced the Blue Danube Waltz, but I got news for you. That's a nasty river. It's about a mile wide and the current is going this fast. Takes them 7 miles sometimes on those inner tube boats they made to get across into Bulgaria. The drift, just getting across that mile of river. You know, and if they ever went out overboard, it would take, they'd probably have to walk on water because it's pretty nasty. But the thing about it is they've gone down into India. They're just going everywhere. They're going across Russia, all the Eastern European nations. Fact is, there's a bunch of them out in the Sacramento Valley, gypsies. And I still have not got a chance to get over and see them. But see, part of deliverance is claiming what you have, even though you didn't see it. I want to tell you, there's ways I know it. I guess it's not that late, is it? There is a... Stop the clock. There. I'm going to. You know why? Because do you know what stops healing? I believe...
You've got 15 minutes on the tape.
All right.
The tapes don't count if you don't get...
That's right. You always got more tapes, right? No, we'll try to wrap it, but... There is a reality that when you pray in faith, you're healed. That's reality. That is a spiritual truth. And yet, we were in a church one time, there were so many people got healed. You know what the pastor got up and said that night? He didn't know I was going to show up. That was the next day. He didn't know I was going to show up because he thought I was going to be somewhere else. I let people think things. You know, I just wanted to go back because I knew they got real offended. And... not the people, but the powers that think they were. And he told the people, you know, those of you that claimed that you were healed yesterday, you go to the doctor and make sure it gets verified. Well, first of all, they go to the doctor. The doctor doesn't even examine them. He looks at the facts. He's a scientist. That's his job. And just about everybody lost their healing. You know, if you got to prove your healing by what a doctor says, then you just, that doctor's your God. The first commandment is no other gods before me. You know, there isn't very many guys that you can go to that the Spirit of God is paramount and he deals with babies. But a doctor has got to do his job just like anybody else, even though they bury their mistakes. That's supposed to be funny. Okay, thank you. But... there's a story that goes with that, but we won't get into it. Huh? Yeah. Well, doctors, lawyers, and morticians are in covenant. Think about it, okay? No, well, that's part of it. But the thing about it is, we got it. You know, I'm going to tell a story on me. I got back from Romania. I felt great. I'd been gone for... close to 3 weeks, and I had the energy, and I didn't bother trying to catch up on sleep or nothing. I got all the business of the ministry caught up. Got up next morning, man, I'm feeling great. Boom, just like that, I got hit. This is gross, okay? But I've been hitting the left testicle so hard that my penis went up inside of me, okay? My back, I had Sheila rub my back. It was all bruised. I couldn't swallow. For 48 hours, I couldn't swallow. I could sip and get a little trickle down. And I don't believe in going to them. They're people that practice. And Sheila was getting scared because all the noise I could make was just this agony. I broke my back twice, my neck once. And this was pain like I had never knew the body could handle. I just go, oh, I won't make the sounds. But so what I thought is, you know, I don't know which one of these possibly is going to be my last sound. So I was trying to say Jesus and praise God, you know. And Sheila says, well, I think someone, a couple people even advised her, call 911. You know, I said, honey, don't do that. And I'm trying to think, how can I get enough energy to get in my car and get out of here? And I'm not advising you to do this, okay? I got different fingerprints than you. But anyway, she says, well, honey, we've got to get you down to the hospital. I said, Sheila, this is spiritual. They aren't going to know what's going on. So anyway, so I would call them. So she called. So she told the lady what's going on, and in the doctor that was in the emergency room, and she said, we have no idea what it is. She said, thank you. She said to me, it's a good thing you said that, honey. Well, God makes sure the right things get said. Well, I don't know why it took 48 hours. If I had timed it, probably was a minute. But I know that when the first time I got cursed and I started learning about this stuff, I was only 40 miles away from that. I was on the very edge, top edge of Romania, up in Ukraine is where it had happened to me, where I really got my eyes opened about this business. But the cursed causes cannot light. Obviously, there was a cause. Well, it certainly wasn't time for me to search and find out what's my sin. All right? We're fighting for my life now. And anyway, part of it was in the process of just going to the Lord, I found out there was three curses and I needed to deal with them. Well, they did light, okay? And I'm delivered. Here I be, you know? Praise the Lord. But you know, I ended up realizing in Genesis 12:3 come back to me very strong. Those who bless me will be blessed. Those who curse me will be cursed. I realized, see, the Spirit of God, if we have relationships, things happen. I caught myself praying for these clowns that had cursed me. Because you know what? This is heavy stuff they put on me. They're getting it back. I don't know if they're alive today. That's not my, for me, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But see, everything has a spiritual significance. And it's got to be one side or the other, okay? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. But you know, when you go to the Father and you get prayer, and if our faith needs a nudge, we go to somebody that's got that, you know, fire going in them. But you know what? It's answered. It's answered. I was in a Romanian church in Dallas area, somewhere in Texas anyway, I think it was Waco. But this lady's in a wheelchair. And I shared some stuff on faith and healing. And this lady came, and I knew she's going to get out of that wheelchair that night. I knew it in my heart. She knew it, see? Because she was dying from a stroke, and she's in a deep coma. I told the family, we don't care what the doctor says. You dial my number, stick the cell phone under her ear, and let me minister. And I says, and you don't let them in the room until you know. So we did it, and I know they have all these radio gizmos, but you know what? There's a greater power. That lady came out of the coma within hours. Well, she's there in a wheelchair, and as much as she wanted to be prayed for, she sat in her wheelchair. Well, there was this lady that had come, and they heard there was going to be healing there that night. She's a Greek Orthodox. She didn't know Jesus. She did get to know him real quick. But she came in front of me. Boom, she got healed. And there was two or three other people. I said, I'm sorry. You know, she says, I've waited this long, you know, she's just glowing. Well, when we prayed for her, she got up and she was shaky like this, you know, and people are going to help her. I said, keep your hands off from her in the name of Jesus. So she's working. But you know, every step she got stronger, and pretty soon she was buzzing around the church. See, because it's you start and you move forward. Your body is going to say, uh-uh. All right? And see, it's the same thing. If you've got things in your life, spirits and things like that, they think they have a right to be there. All right? We, as a body of believers, need to stick together this weekend for those that need deliverance, that they really do get delivered. And those of you that get deliverance and healing or whatever you want to call it, you go tell people. You know, for close to 3 years, my arm was paralyzed or just skin over this arm. I'm laying my left hand on people. I'm praying they're getting healed. People are making fun of me. What's wrong with you, brother? How come you know? But you know what? And there ain't no meat cutter. Took a piece out of my hip and stuck it in my neck either. That's a good arm. Strongest arm in the house. You know why? Because God made it right. Glory to God. But see, it took 2 or 3 years of people saying, How can you be a pastor of a church and lie? It isn't healed. Come on, wake up. The doctor once sent me to a psychiatrist. So he said, I want you to go see this doctor. I says, is that a shrink? He said, we don't call him that. I says, I do. And I says, here, sir, you take it. You don't believe in Jesus. You are crazy. And I says, oh, by the way, you're fired. I did go back and see him when I had the full manifestation. I grabbed his hand and I shook it. He says, I need my hand for surgery. I said, that's your problem. I squeezed it. I won't squeeze yours like that. But see, it takes the confession. It takes the faith. You know, people can say, well, that's an awful price to pay. I don't know. You know, that neurosurgeon that was going to do the meat cutting, he said I had 85% chance of success. I said, them are pretty good odds. But I said, what's your definition of success? That wasn't any good at all. See, you got to believe that above everything. I'm not saying don't go to the doctors, of course. You know, them guys got to pay for them buildings and stuff. But if you don't believe what it says here, you're calling God a liar. And I don't care what your body tries to tell you, folks. The Word of God says it. That is the truth. Everything else is a lie. Even if it is three-dimensional and in your face and it stinks, it's still a lie. It is the Word of God. If you'll stand on the Word of God will hold you up. And you'll come through and you'll have victory. But if you have to have it verified, you're in trouble already. If you're going to believe what your body tries to tell you, you know, I kept claiming it was healed. One night I heard my wife loud scream, middle of the night. She hit the light and I looked over and her eye was all black. My arm had just involuntarily went, come on! She got hit right in the eye, you know. Got a wonderful wife, she forgave me, you know. But see, you have to adjust through the healing process sometimes. The answer was, you know, I prayed for it and we were excited. My arm had moved. And then we changed sides of the bed. Sometimes it's just practical, see? Literally. I think I still sleep on the other side now after all these years. But see, and the other thing is you're laughing right now. Joy of the Lord is your strength, right? You know, victory is moving on. Sister, it took you an effort to get up there and play that piano, right? It took a lot of effort to get down. Thank you for helping her. I sit there, the Lord told me to, and I sit there on my butt. See, and so if you, when you don't move, when the Lord tells you to, opportunity moves on. You had the pleasure of helping a wonderful sister. See, relationship, does God still love me? Yeah, and I praise Him for it. But see, it's relationship, folks. You know, when you work your way through things, and you're trusting the Lord, all right? If we're trusting in the Lord, am I out of tape?
Three minutes,
all right. When we're trusting the Lord, I just want to do a quick prayer. And then I'm willing to pray for anybody that wants prayer tonight. But Father, in the name of Jesus, please stand. Dr. Bill said it, you can't pray on your butt. Guess he didn't put it that way, but it's true, right? You know, if you can't make an effort, you can't get results. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we come to you. We're your children. We're not perfect, but we got a perfect spirit within us, Father. And we praise you and we thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. And if you don't agree with this, sit down quick. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we're not going to hide anything anymore. This weekend, Father, we're going to open our hearts to you. And Father, we ask for your faithfulness to deliver us. In the name of Jesus. Father, we will go out and tell people what you have done. In the name of Jesus Christ. I come against every devil that is tormenting. Every devil, in the name of Jesus, I assign an angel. And you keep that devil from having any authority until we get it dealt with in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Father. I speak rest to everybody that they sleep at night. You get your rest, you wake up in the morning, and you're strong. And in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we do not have to live in need and want and fear, but, Father, that we can walk in victory because of what our Lord Jesus has done for us. We praise you, Father, that you are a God that keeps your word. You have always kept your word, and you always will. And we know, Father, our greatest enemy has always lied, and he always will. So, Father, we thank you that you give us the strength to be what we have been called to be, which is to be like Jesus. And we ask, Father, we can't do it. We failed at it. We need your help. We want your help. And we just praise you, Father, that in the name of Jesus Christ, that we can walk as Jesus done, that we can love, that we can forgive, that we can honestly say, Father, is there any other way? And if you say, this is the way, Father, that we can do it. And we praise you. I thank you for your hand of strength and mercy on this camp. And in the name of Jesus, I come against every devil that's trying to destroy this camp. I speak to the leadership of this camp. You guys stand together, please. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask for anybody that's not present, Father, that they're present with you. But, Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak a special strength over these men. Just a spirit of truth to have great authority that they can know when they've been lied to. In the name of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you that you provide. You provide youth, vitality, and strength in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that the spirit of distraction does not interfere, that these men can stay focused in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless them, Father. Bless them with great strength, Father. Bless them with their every need, being more than met, exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or imagine.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.